Wherever you'd like.
For sure. It's my whole, you know, committee to tech.
I agree. I mean, I see that part, but the beginning of the work, something,
doing what you can.
Does he not have it?
I'm not either. Worst kind of,
I just know we can't get into this for him, right?
I sent everything on an email to
him. Oh, right.
He still can't get his stuff. I need to bring his stuff in and I need to call them.
Paper and
chat with them. I don't know why. Are they coming?
Every time. She's online.
Oh, okay. She's okay.
I'm here.
But, you know, Chris was planning on even just getting her minor passes. Look at him for a second. Is true. Hey, man. You're blocking the morning of your.
All right.
She's up.
I had a switch there. Right. A good idea. Yeah, that was like one before. I'm like high in my principal chair over here, so I still have to get a few minutes for my side.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear it.
Okay, sounds good.
How's Europe?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Been wonderful.
Okay.
Except
for it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Right. So we've got a quorum of 10, right?
Except it's 2 o'clock in the morning, exactly.
Yeah.
How's everything there? Hot?
No, not too bad.
It's been wonderful.
Like 75 and sunny, Tim.
It's awesome.
Yeah, wouldn't that
be nice? All right. Well, we got Tim on the line, so we've got a quorum now, and so we'll call to order the Northview Fire District Board meeting for Thursday, June 11th. Here we're starting at 6 p.m. So we'll be having a public hearing as part of this meeting, and we've waiting. Meredith is online. Tim Wheelwright is online, and Chris Clark. We are eagerly waiting for him to arrive via online or in person.
He says he's trying to open it right now.
Okay, he's in the works to get online. So everybody, welcome. And we'll go to agenda item one, opening prayer, reading, or expression of thought, or pledge allegiance by presenter Trustee Clark. Since he's not here, I'll do enough. Oh.
Supposed to be Arrington, sorry.
Oh, John Arrington?
Sorry.
Okay, Trustee.
I thought it was.
It's too unwordable, sorry.
Trustee Arrington will... Will lead us in
the. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just for the record, we do have Chairman Wheelwright on, who is over the pond in France right now, and he asked me to lead the discussion in case we had any connectivity issues. So
should I pray first?
Oh, yes. Yeah. let's pray that there's no connectivity issues.
Our Father in heaven, we bow our heads before the beginning of this fire department board meeting. Father in heaven, first of all, we're thankful to live in a country where we can assemble ourselves as such and make decisions for our local community. I'm thankful, Father in heaven, for the guidance we receive from thee and ask that thy influence may be in this meeting tonight, that our discussions among everyone who's attended may be civil and understood, and that we may make the proper decisions for this operating department this night. Again, we thank thee for the opportunity of assembling together and say this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We still have connectivity, so it's good for her. All right. All right, we'll move on to agenda item number two, consideration to approve the minutes of May 28th, 2026. You guys got a chance to review and look over the minutes. Have any comments or?
I reviewed them and don't see anything that's out of line in the group. We've proven them as written.
Okay, we have a second.
A second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, there we go. Chris, are you on?
What's her new opposition?
No, Chief. I'm delayed.
Just a delay.
Okay.
All right. So the minutes passed, and
we lost Tim.
I lost Tim.
Tim. Oh. Okay. There we go. So that's why the B team is here conducting and not, you know. All right. Agenda item three. We've got public comments. Kevin, do you have? We got Kevin here from the public.
Thank you.
Now, is this supposed to be a public hearing or just public comments?
This is just public comments.
This is comments.
Okay.
Yeah, public hearing.
We will vote in when it's on
after the agenda. After the presentation. You might talk multiple times.
Get doubled.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll just wait until then.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Seeing there are no comments for the first part of the meeting, we'll go on into the action item number four, which is the budget officer to make a statement pursuant to section 59 TAC 2 TAC 919 number 4 A to I. The tentative tentative budget and proposed interim budget include a proposed property tax rate increase. Let's go ahead.
No, you're good.
We go chief now.
Yep, you go chief now, but you'll sing number five too.
Okay.
That's on.
Sorry, it's the state song. Okay, I'll say five. Pursuant to section 59 TAC 2 TAC 919 4BI of the Utah Code, the budget officer intends to state the following. A, Northview Fire District is considering. You got that. Sorry. I turn the time over to Chief.
Sorry, we got to do the hokey pokey just right.
That's right. We're doing it. We're going to do everything.
The Northview Fire District is considering a tax rate that exceeds the certified rate. Northview Fire District is considering increasing the certified tax rate to generate an additional $400,093,424 in ad valorem tax revenue. Purpose of this increase is to support capital expenditures, including the purchase of land for and the construction of Station 23. In Harrisville, the proposed tax rate increase is approximately 9.7%. If the Northview Fire District proceeds with the proposed tax increase, the Northview Fire District shall provide notice of and conduct a public hearing as required, where members of the public have an opportunity to comment on the proposed increase.
Back to me.
Okay.
Okay. Item number six, the budget officer presents and makes available to the public a property tax impact schedule updated to reflect the actual values as a separate document from the other budget documents pursuant to section 59 TAC 2 TAC 919-4AI and 59 TAC 2 TAC 924-8B. Item seven,
Chief has to read.
Chief, okay.
Yeah.
All right, the budget officer is presenting to the public the proposed fiscal. Wait, which one?
Not your own secretary.
Okay, the budget officer presents and makes available to the public property tax impact schedule updated to reflect the actual values as a separate document from the other budget documents pursuant to the sections that Jay referenced. Here is the required statement that we just read, property tax impact schedule. You all got a copy of this in your fourth packet. Just to be clear for the minutes, there are hard copies available in this room tonight. The original was published to the district website. Fine. The district website originally on 5/21/26. We clarified with the state that we are able to update this when we get actuals from the state, which was a question we didn't get answered until a few days ago. So we did. Now that we've received the rates from the state, we've updated that, and that is now published. And that's the copy that's available today. That was updated. Will be updated and published as of tomorrow after having this meeting and available today. Posted on the station 21 exterior doors. The original was posted to Utah Public Notice website in May, and the update will be published to the Public Notice website tomorrow.
So clarify, this is the update, right?
This is the update that you have with you now. Yep, and I'll go through it line by line. And just one more included, the tax impact schedule as required by code is also included in the public available interim budget as a piece of that budget. Okay, so if you go through, you'll notice that, again, to remind you, the original impact statement, we had to estimate what we thought our revenue would be from new growth. And so we had to list the things that would be that the money gained through the ad valorem tax increase would be used for. You can see that this updates those numbers so that proposed revenue with tax change doesn't change. So that's the $5,603,877. The Northview Fire District's fiscal 27 certified rate tax revenue updated to reflect new growth. So originally it was 4,957 and some change. We came in really, really close to that 3% that we were budgeting with, that we were, I think we came in at 3.16%. So slightly above the 148 that we projected. So that brings the certified tax rate revenue without an increase to $5,110,453. The additional property tax revenue to the district, if the tax increase goes forward, would be instead of 646,000 would now be 493,424. The Northview Fire District's current tax rate is 0.001096. The certified rate recommended to us by the county would be 0.001094. The proposed FY27 property tax rate, if the interim is adopted, would be 0.0012. The estimated increase to the Northview Fire District's property tax revenue, instead of 13.3%, would be 9.7. Estimated annual increase to a primary residence. Values were updated. It looks like I missed it on this one, but it updated to 553 from 544, bringing the annual increase, if the 9.7 is adopted, to 3219 per year per household, and an estimated to a business of the same value of 5852. So you'll see that we removed the health insurance increases and the fleet expenditures because those were now accounted for in the new growth that we thought would be included in that. And so now the only purpose of the tax increase is the purchase of the property to and construction of the new stadium. Any questions on that?
No, thanks for that clarification.
Anything else on that?
Sure.
Okay, I think we can move on.
All right, item 7, the budget officer presents and makes available to the public the proposed fiscal year 2027 interim budget that includes the required set aside of a proposed new revenue that would be generated by the proposed tax increase in a restricted account pursuant to Utah Code 59 TAC 2 TAC 924 8A 2006 HB 2/3 per HB 236.
Okay, just to be clear, in the public available copy of the interim, that set aside required by state code is highlighted in red. You see that Jeff added that it's from the general fund that the code requires, and we put a note to it that cites the code reference and says what that money's for. We cleared this through the state tax commission as well, and they said this was what they needed. So, should be good to go. All right.
At least we got all that out of the way. Now we can talk. Now we can actually talk about budget.
Okay. All right. So, refresh your budget timeline. I just want to clarify again what this meeting is actually for. So we're not here to adopt the final budget. This meeting just moves us on to a TNT if that's what you guys choose to do. So in May, we adopted the tentative budget. We tentatively adopted the tentative budget. So that's complete. This June meeting here is in red. So in this meeting, we need to hold a public hearing to receive community comments. We need to adopt the final budget if you choose to go with the certified tax rate, or the interim budget if we plan to exceed the certified tax rate. And part of that, we also need to adopt a tax rate. So when we get to the resolution for that, we'll have to clarify what your intentions are, make sure that we have the correct rate in there so that we can get that into the resolution, into the minutes. Okay. If you choose to move to adopt an interim exceeding the CTR, we'll adopt the rate that corresponds to that. We'll notify the county of the adopted rate by 22nd of this month, and that'll move us to that August 3rd TNT if we choose whatever. Okay, again, budget philosophy. Number one, we want to maintain exceptional service levels while operating efficiently and responsibly. Number two, we want to align with short and long-term operational objectives and needs. And then number three, we always want to make sure that our budget is being driven by our strategic planning process and priorities. We went through that in more detail last time, but we won't this time. So again, here's your overview of revenue and expenditures. And again, they balance because we have to adopt a balanced budget, right? So $8,388,577 in revenue, $8,388,577 in expenditure. Review on, or refresher on what those revenue changes look like and updated with the new growth information that we've received. So non-tax, looking about $2,784,700. Impact fees, we project are going to be up about $100,000. Next year, ambulance fees, we project will be up about $50,000. The PMA contract, we know it's already approved, has gone up $40,000. Property tax would be $5,603,877. New growth is $158,81 of that, so 3.16%. The tax increase now, again, instead of that 646 number that we had in the tentative budget, is now decreased to $493,424. Just a reminder, this is something we looked at quite a bit in the budget committee meetings and the two-on-twos, but for the public. Wanted to make sure they see what a good job we're doing of managing all of this growth that we've had over the last 4 years with non-tax revenue. So you can see in blue, this is our property tax revenue. That's only gone up $500,000 since fiscal year 23. You can see that our revenues have grown from 5878 to 7527, but most of that has been driven by this green line, which is total non-tax revenue. So I gave you guys a ton of credit, and you guys should feel really good. Like, we have had a ton of growth. We've added personnel. We've added new services. Most of that has been shouldered by non-tax revenue, not tax revenue. I think it feels like we've constantly raised the taxes. I think we all have tax increase fatigue, but that really hasn't been the case here. On the expenditure side, this is our wages current. This is our wages with the projected. This includes a 2.5% COLA for all employees, step increases, then merit adjustments to several of the positions. Salary and benefits change, a total of $320,235 up. Salary increases of $361,419. Benefits have decreased by $21,742 because we've now adopted a policy that helps us manage our compensated absences differently. So we're budgeting less for that. We're now leaning on our general fund or our unassigned fund balance if some big compensated absences liability were to pop up next year. Benefits increase, health up around $60,000, dental up $4,000, insurance up $18,000, total increase just for benefits of $81,109. Operational expenditures, we are lean, but we're still cutting. So this year, we're able to reduce operational expenditures by almost $60,000, $57,753. We adopted a new capitals plan, and according to the capital plan, these are the expenses that we plan to manage this year. Replace an ambulance, that's going to cost us roughly $330,000. Replace one admin vehicle, $47,000. Lease payments for ladder 21 is $241,000. The station 22 bond payment is $212,000.
then the Station 23 construction bond of roughly $500,000. Just a kind of a comparison, remember, and I know we don't like to compare ourselves, but I think we have to, right? So firefighters per station square mile in Weber County, we're the leanest. Firefighters per square mile, fire stations and firefighters per square mile, we are the leanest organization in the whole county. Per citizen, station per citizen, same thing. Firefighters per 1,000 citizen, same. And the point isn't anything other than we are a lean organization. So I know that's a popular thing to say, and I think people conflate issues with the federal government and waste and fraud. That's not here. That's not what we're doing. Like, we are running a lean organization, as lean as I think we can possibly run it, and getting top-notch service for what people are paying. As a comparison, I showed some of you guys this in your budget meetings, but another district that's runs exactly the same system as us in a county just south of us, we'll call it Davis County. They're on the north end of that. They're a fire district, but I won't name who they are. I think they're a good comparison. About as apples and apples as you can get. Their operational budget is $1.497 million more than ours. And they currently collect $1.869 million more in property tax than we do. So again, I know that's the thing, especially with the federal government, and I don't disagree, but that's not the case here. We are running a lean, responsible, financially stable organization. All right, so the big issue this year, and I think what everybody wants to kind of go more in depth to, because the new growth did accommodate most of those other asks, is the Station 23 conversation. So first, cost to build. So this is the bid sheet from the estimate from the architect. You can see a total of $9.664,789. That includes the rest of the management costs, finishing and finalizing the construction documents, and the technology and FF&E. So that's furniture, that's turnout equipment, extractors, that's ventilation systems, that's all the things you need to be able to run the station. So that should all be accounted for in that $9.6 million, including because we've already paid on soft costs A&E fees, we paid all but $117,000 on here. So really in this number, that's roughly the same amount of money that the property will likely cost. So that 9.6 should include everything we need, including the property. Cost to staff and operate. I want to be fully transparent that just building a station doesn't put out fires. We have to put people and equipment in it. Our capital improvements plan does accommodate the new fire equipment that we need to be in there, but we do also have to hire staff, build up staff and engine. So adjusted this from the ones you guys have seen prior with the new information. So this year would be that 493,424, that 9.7% increase. Fiscal year 28, we don't anticipate having any station-specific increase cost needs. FY29, still looking at that $750,000 or half of what it costs to staff and operate. That looks like it's going to be around 13.4%. Fiscal year 30, the same amount, so we'll catch the second half. We're going to stagger our staffing from January 1st of 29 and then pick up the remainder of that staffing and operational cost in the next fiscal year. That'll be about 11.8% because of the compounding value. So a total all-in cost over 4 years in fiscal 30, you're looking at a 39.2% increase. Nine new hires, three promotions, benefits, operating costs of $200,000 for a total of $1.472, including the new station, you're roughly $1.8 to $1.92 million. Spread over the community, those costs would result in about $131 per year for your average house, and about $834 for your average business, or about $10 per month. Again, this is the total at the end of the construction. Staffing is complete. The station is up and running. You're looking at a total of about $459 per year per house. All right, just kind of drill down a little bit more. We love the businesses, but we all think with our residential minds, don't we? I think I do. I think, how is this going to affect me and my home and my family? So wanted to drill down just a little bit more, add some more clarity for you. So this year you're looking at a monthly increase of $2.64 to begin construction secured land. No increase related to the station next year. Fiscal 29, to pick up half a year of staffing, you're looking at about $4 a month.
fiscal year 30, another $4 a month, roughly, for a total of about $11 per month, all in to have a third station up and running staffed with 5 people per day. All right, so that's the cost. So what are you guys getting for your money? You're going to get a state-of-the-art fire station that's not fancy. It's not big. It's not extravagant. We want something, even in the design process, I told the architect, I don't want it to look like we're being, I don't know, what's even the word?
Ostentatious.
Ostentatious. That's perfect. You know, this should reflect our values as a district. We're simple. We're working class. We want it to look sturdy. I want people to look at it and feel like they're getting their money's worth, but I don't want it to look like we're blowing a bunch of money. We're not building unified fire authority Taj Mahals, right? And we want to build something functional, but still something that's a 50-year building, something that we can grow with, right? So this is the station overview. 7 bedrooms, 3 bays double deep, so we have room for expanding equipment needs. A workout facility that was designed to be shared with Harrisville, and that can come into play when we start negotiating for property. And then all of your essential utility supplies down the middle. This is actually open space outside, trying to get some cheap square footage for the firefighters to live in. Really, the living quarters, the main living quarters, is only really here and then here. And this is all outside, cheap square footage. This is how it fits into the big plan. We started this 3 years ago, right when I got here. The discussions were kind of already in play. The original plan was to have our station and the police station and city hall buildings all conjoined, right? So it was going to be one building, and the hope was to be able to share costs based on shared exterior walls, right? As the plan kind of evolved, it really made more sense. And quite frankly, I'm glad it worked out this way. It made more sense for us to move over to our own piece. I like that a lot. Their building's already coming out of the ground. I feel like that was a little fast for us. So I like that gave us the flexibility to slow things down a little bit for us. Plus, it clarified a lot of the future discussions and interlocal agreements about, you know, who was going to pay for what utility to sue, whose wall was what, and where's your property start and where's our end. So now it's designed to fit on a 1-acre piece right at the entrance to Highway 89 right here. This would be a privacy fence, and I think this is last ever going to be a Maverick. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that in a public meeting. Did I just blow it? It's not an In-N-Out burger, which is what I want. That's not what it is. This is the public works building that's already built right here. So that was the other goal, was not only to make it not look ostentatious, but I also wanted to look, you know, like it belongs in this government complex, because that's kind of how the whole conversation started. So this is what it looks like from the renders. This is the front looking down. Here's your front elevation. See, this is kind of a metal screening material to help keep shade, help us lower utility bills. This screens that outdoor space. They add a lot of glass. I had to remove a lot of the glass because I just know the guys will hate when he's mad and they just won't get done. So we took that out. This is moving around building. Here's the backside, so this would be your dorm areas here. I went with the tri-fold doors on the front for the aesthetic and went with the cheaper roll-up doors in the back to save some money. Better back view there. This is the interior space. You can see, again, it's not huge, which I like. I know a lot of guys that have worked in a lot of those really big stations, is it really kind of has a negative effect on the culture of the crew. Really wanted it to still feel like they were connected. You know, like they still have some community in their space. Again, nothing too fancy. Just a space for the guys to be. See, that's the kitchen view looking into the day room. This is standing on near the exterior doors going out to the public exterior space, looking out towards the bay with the port station here. This is looking down the hallway towards the dorms. And I just thought that's a really nice picture right there. I think that's something that you guys and the citizens could be real proud of. Again, 50-year building, something we can grow into, something we can really like. All right, so system implications for the new station. Faster response times along the 89 corridor. We've talked a lot about this. This is what our hit and miss looks like now. The grayed out areas are the theoretical 4-minute travel from each one of our stations currently. A long time ago, we identified these two areas, right? Really, this whole 89 corridor. And initially, we thought it was probably going to take us 2 stations to manage that, right? One in planning zone 23, and one in the commercial corridor of Pleasant View. And then this is an area of concern, obviously, up here. But we just want to wait and see what Mountain View or Mountain Road does once that's complete. I have a feeling that'll take a pretty good chunk of that, and we can really just focus on that last little area to figure out what we need to do. So this is what that looks like. And I've told y'all before, but I think this is a... I think this may even be a little bit conservative. So I actually went out and drove that, was able to get all the way to the county border and under four in my car, stopping at both lights, slowing down as if I was a fire engine, clearing the intersection. As soon as I came to a stop, I stopped the timer. When it turned green, I proceeded. And I was able to make it all the way from here, all the way to the county line in 4 minutes. So I think we're getting really, really good coverage. All right, faster assembly of resources so that we can get better outcomes. So we look at our heat maps, we try to see where our calls are, and that should give us a clue on where we should put our resources, like a game of Risk, right? So here's your heat. You can see heat along the 89 corridor. It's like a bomb went off right here, station 21. And then the little insignias here are all the different fire calls. So it looks like our heaviest area of concern will probably be right around here. So not only trying to get coverage up and down this corridor, then providing some backup into 21's area that's getting busier and busier. This is what it looks like. Our current stations, we're only able to get 12 people within 8 minutes into the areas that overlap. So if we have a serious call that requires both of our units to get to, this is what it looks like. If we have a fire call, we're not going to be able to get two, three engines, a truck, and an ambulance to that without help. So this is what it would look like with the addition of Station 23. So all the overlapping areas would give us 8 minute total, 8 minute travel response time. All those areas, that would be two engines, a truck, two ambulances, and a medic unit, or 15 people without anybody's help. This is what it looks like when we have our full alarm if the new station was built. Right now, we rely on two outside agencies to assist us for every structured fire call. So we have to have both of our stations emptied, and then we have to have Engine 3 and Engine 61 both respond and fill out our first alarm to meet our effective response force for that fire. That's the number of people we need to be able to put the fire out, right? But if either one of those is out, then we're getting Tower 81 from South Ogden. So building a third station would reduce our reliance on outside agencies by half, right? And Engine 3 seems to be less and less reliable. So in the last five or six full alarm assignments I've seen dispatched out, Engine 3 hasn't been included. That's 61s. So this is what we would look like with Ogden, with the new station. All of the overlapping areas would be 8 minute travel. This is what we would look like with 61. And again, right now we're relaxed. And again, we're outcome driven, right? The reason we want to get our full ERF for all the people that we think we need to your fire in, you know, first arriving at four and the rest of the alarm at eight, so that we can get there and extinguish the fire prior to flashover. Difference in a 4 minute travel for first due is keeping it to one room and saving the rest of the house and the people in it. The difference of getting all the full assignment there in eight is the difference between keeping it as one house fire, not having it extend to two or three. Same thing with medical. The old saying, time is muscle. It's really true. So this, you can see how the NFPA benchmarks were conceived based on our 4 minute travel for BLS. So a first arriving unit with at least basic EMTs with an automated defibrillation device and then advanced life support on scene. Within that 8 minute travel, we're a total of 10-15, including dispatch and turnout time. All right, increased reliability overall. So better distribution of our call load. Again, here's where our problem areas are. This is where the calls are. And looking at those maps, we often saw those made at distance. We saw red, you know, right here in the heart of North Ogden, right next to the station. We wondered, what is that? Well, those look like they are calls that have happened when 21 is out. So 21 is on a busy call. So Jeremiah created this map. Thanks, Jeremiah. This shows all in 2025, all of the calls where 22 responded off the hill to take a call in 21's area. Each one of those represents, I think on average, it was 9 minute travel, 9 minute total, and 90th percentile was 12 minute response. And remember, for medical, this really starts to matter because we really have to think of ourselves from a medical response perspective as an island. Because Ogden, even though they have a station here, they won't send a first due medical unit. So anything that's first due medical has to come off the hill. Again, it's taking a long time for them to get there. And also during that period of time, 22's area is unprotected. Station 21's taking an average of 80% of the calls right now. 22's taking 20. And this is what we think the new station distribution would look like with the new station. So we wanted to take a lot of the heavy lift off of 21. So 21 would be running approximately 50% of the calls. 22 would still be taking about 20. Station 23 would handle about 30% of the calls. You can see these are the misfits. So instead of these misfits here in 21, it looks like we'd probably be able to back up 21's area from 23 and capture a lot of those that, again, were taking 90th percentile, 12 minutes or longer for us to get to. Staffing each station, we'd redistribute our resources, which would take a little bit of the load off of Station 21. Having 7 people here is a lot, let's be honest. So we would take the ambulance from here, we'd move to Station 23, we keep the medic in the ladder truck here, that would give us 5 at each station. That also should max us out for staffing credit with ISO. So 5, 5, and 5, and we'll continue to watch how busy our ambulances are, continue to track unit hour utilization and decide if we need to stand up a new ambulance at some point in time here. All right, room for additional equipment and personnel. We are full. We are backed up this close to each other in the bay. We are out of room. So right now we got a ladder truck, 2 engines, 3 ambulances, 1 medic unit with another one being built. And that's really when we're going to have to start making decisions because we don't have anywhere to put it. So thinking the hazmat trailer is probably going to lose out. I'm not sure, but we'll see. 3 brush units, a side-by-side, and then that poor county hazmat trailer. And we have 12 bedrooms, 2 of which we created last year. So we had to create an additional bedroom here, and we had to create an additional bedroom at 22. We're chock full. So if we have student ride-alongs or we want to put somebody down here to do paramedic FTO, they're sleeping on a cot, and that's happened. All right, decrease in insurance premium and cost. So this is a big goal for us. We want to make sure we want to ensure insurability. Easy for me to say, huh? We're going to ensure insurability. With all the new WUI stuff, insurance companies are looking a lot harder at ISO specifically and the different components that measure ISO to decide whether or not people in wildland interfaces continue to have insurance and how much it costs. Same time, we make these improvements, we should be able to move from a 3 to a 1 by the time our next evaluation comes around, hopefully saving the taxpayers around $1.26 to $1.5 million per year on their insurance premiums. So it's not just a response improvement, but hopefully there's some kind of a cost offset to the community down the line. Staying ahead of the growth and increasing call volume. So looking at planning maps, we've got a lot of mixed use developments that are planned. All the light blue stuff is planned for that. I think Leonard and I were talking, you know, what happens if the housing market tanks? Well, what do you think you're going to keep building? Mixed use? High density, even worse case, right? That's even worse for us. So this is something we just want to pay attention to. We don't know when it's going to happen or how long, but all of this light blue stuff is mixed use. That could all have high density housing in it. And there is a higher call percentage per person, per citizen in high density situations than there is in low density. So I tried to project this, and I'm not sure how good the projections are, but we're trying. So if you look at this, the red line, the projection begins, blue line, the red line is the historical call volume. Over time, the blue line on the top is a linear regression based on past call growth. The green line is based on our current call per citizen ratio of 0.85 calls per 1,000 citizens. And then calculated based on the Ken Gardner Institute at the University of Utah's growth projection curve. And then the purple line was just kind of a split difference because it looked kind of empty without it. So I threw that one in there. So currently we were projecting on this blue call line, high growth, 170 call increase per year, which we saw last year. And this year we're currently already tracking on the high growth to be closer to 2027 numbers this year. So I tend to believe the linear regression projection more than I believe the other two. All right. So that's your interim budget. If you guys want to move forward with this, and again, this isn't the final decision, but if you feel like this has merit, you want to take it to a TDT process and get more public input, adopting this would increase our tax by $493,424, 9.7% increase, and a proposed rate of 0.012. And again, I know it feels like that's a big lift, but I don't want to pretend like we haven't planned for this. This is something we've been talking about for 3 years. We designed and paid for the design of a station. We were strategic about our revenue and open with the public about what that revenue increase last year was supposed to do for us this year. So prior year approved increase and current year catch-up. Last year certified rate revenue was $4,957,000, and you guys approved a rate that would have got us $5,322,606. So this $364,900 or $365,000 is missing from this year's revenue. It costs us about $10,000 more on the new growth side because new growth isn't calculated at your current rate. And it left us $365,000 lighter in our capital leak fund than last year. So I'm not bitter though at all. So additional increase, if that hadn't been declined, would have only been $121,593, a 2.2% increase, which is less than an inflationary adjustment this year. Inflation is a 2.5 to 3. That's all I got for you.
All right, thanks, Chief.
Yeah,
that's great. All right, Tim's still awake. All right, we'll move on to item A, which is the public hearing. For the interim budget and proposed tax increase, I'll entertain a motion to go into a public hearing.
I'll move.
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're in a public hearing.
Question. Any particular language to go into the public hearing besides sort of, do I have to say go into a public hearing discussing or?
I would suggest yes. So if you want to redo that.
I amend my motion to say enter into a public hearing to address the interim budget and proposed tax increase.
Second. Thank you.
All right. We're in our public hearing. Discuss the interim.
I need any thoughts.
Oh. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it. We're in a public hearing. All right. Well, Kevin, you want 5-10 minutes?
Kevin cares. I really appreciate the presentation. That took away a lot of my pointing at you and saying, where's all your criteria? So as you always do, Chief, excellent job. I wish more people could see how you do things to present to the public what money's going to be spent on. I know our Harrisville City Council people who I like to dig. You did answer a lot of questions, I think. You made a great logical presentation about timing. I still worry about the timing, particularly what was addressed finally is the cost of, it's like starting to eat the elephant. That's building the building. Then obviously you got to staff it. When you look at the cost, the staff it, that's just, if you go throw out that total amount to the public, that's going to be really hard. And yes, you have raised taxes every year. You didn't get it last year, but you fully intended to. If things would have worked out, you would have. But previously, as noted by others, you've raised taxes consistently. And I recognize that's your primary source of income and growth. I think it's unfortunate that in the prior meeting that the board decided to give up some of that tax money by giving a break to a business that, to me, sounded like they were going to build and move on no matter what, and to give up revenue and then turn around and say, oh, I want a tax increase, a little hard from a taxpayer standpoint. So I guess shame on you that voted for it. But I think the biggest thing is that total cost. Keep in mind the total cost and what is the timing of when you would actually trigger this, and that I presume there's a bond. And I'm not up on it all, but there could be some pushback from people with regards to the bond to say, Well, I'm going to try and push to take it to a vote, which if they knew the full amount, I think some of them might, and I might be part of them. So thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Any more public would like to present during our hearing? All right. Take a motion to close the public hearing.
All moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, we're out of our public hearing. And for number nine, for this resolution, we'll have to have the exact wording. And after the first sentence there, after it says section 5912, second sentence. Oh, yeah.
This one's the
full. After the, on the third line, after the word tax rate, if we would, whoever was to make the motion would add the rate, which is 0.0012.
Or whatever you guys are saying.
Yeah.
Or whatever we want to do. So let's talk about it. I'm sorry. That's why I'm the B team here. Thoughts? Concerns?
You did a great job to present from that.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm on board.
I think we need to move forward, mainly because if you review what the cost of station 23 was.
22.
Or 22. 9 years ago? It was opened in 17, right? What the cost for that to build that station compared to what the cost to build this station is, and then the amount, well, commercial development as a whole. I think if we delayed it a year or two, it would just add another $1 million or $2 million to the cost. The farther we kick the can down the road. I think there's no doubt we need it. Timing is, I mean, ideally, maybe we could wait a year or two, but again, it's just going to cost us that much more if we wait. So I think we kind of need to move forward. I'd be interested in, you know, I still want to go over a little more of exactly what we're getting the station. I got some concerns, but there's a lot left up kind of as to, is Paris still going to partner with us on the gym, or where we stand on that? What's the cost of the building without the gym? What is it with it? Typically we have found that the gyms are kind of nice, smaller ones, but the guys still like to go to the gym. So I don't know where that all how that all comes into play. But obviously that can be had down the road. As far as moving forward with the proposed truth in taxation, I think we should leave it. So
I like just from my point of view on the presentation, I like the seeing the resources, how it was spread out, you know, where we've got seven full-timers here and, you know, five up on the hill, and how that would be staffed, and how some of the resources here would move out to free up some of the room here and leverage those resources at the new station to stand up, which helps alleviate some of the cost. And we're already got kind of that little bit of manpower in here, so it helps do that. And it's, you know, divides it up in almost thirds, so when we do have a call and we've got a third, you know, for the whole responding to a call, I think that's it was nice to see that illustrated, Chief. I appreciate it. Those slides on that helped reinforce that to me.
Just one more quick comment. I think one thing that questions I've been getting in our community is, can't Station 22 do more? I think that's a tough question, especially when you see the percentages and that. But they don't necessarily understand. I've tried to explain to the people, and they go, "Oh, okay, that makes sense." And I don't know if that's something we need to maybe address in the TNT, but you know, the purpose of that station was to have people up on the hill to, you know, well, back in the day when we built it only 9 years ago, it took 15 minutes for a fire truck to get up there. And for so to protect the urban interface, plus have a better response up there, but also there is nobody coming from the west or the east or the north. And so it was there, and we're not going to the north, to the east, or the west like we do here. So it's meant to be that lifeline. You showed the calls that they have taken. That's what it's good for. Handle those. But the other purposes of having that urban interface and the decreased time and the fact that, like I said, they don't have to go north. They don't have to go east. They don't have to go west. They have to go down to get back up for here. So that's why the 20 will grow as that grows in. But that's why we can't have them gone more. And that is because that kind of defeats the purpose of why we built that station. I don't know if that needs to be brought up, or maybe somebody will ask the question. I don't. It is a valid question. They see the 20.
I just maybe wanted to add.
Go ahead, then.
Well, I just wanted to add, I think we aren't going to see the full benefit of 22 until 4300 North is built completely. It sounds to me like, you know, that's going to, I mean, you can still come down off the hill, but obviously it's going to be more efficient for them to come down off the hill if they're able to go, you know, more directly east and service more of that area up towards the cove. So probably still, you know, a couple of years before what's the plan on 4300's build out? How soon is that going to connect? And
well, it's
I was thinking along the same lines, you know, as that up the road gets done.
It's roughly connected, but it doesn't go all the way. So
that Mountain View or Mountain Road. Last I on UDOT's website, they have completion by 2032, but talking to people at the county that control a lot of those funds, they think it'll be sooner. So
we just accepted WACOG money for right-of-way purchase Tuesday.
So it could correspond pretty closely with the completion of the Station 23, which would be great to see the whole system and how it benefits from the completion of that and the addition of the new station.
It shifts everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thanks, Tim. That was another big part of the station up there, I said, and the location on 4300, so they can go both ways when the whole thing.
It's going to be really good when it's done.
Yeah. Maybe we just make a slide that really emphasizes that with the corridor, you know, a satellite view of what it looks like today and what the projection is. You know, I think just to educate and
yeah, for sure.
May I make one comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I am going to vote in favor of moving forward with this tax increase. I am just hoping that as we do so, when the station's built and we've progressed to that point, that we can relook at the call volume and the distribution, and we can be as conservative as possible in our staffing to try to help keep that new overhead cost lower.
Yes, and we are, and I failed to mention, also, I don't want to get hopes up, but Safer Grant, I think, will be a really good option. We're taking steps now to try to improve our understanding of how that process works. Chief Barker has got himself onto the national committee to review for peer review of this year's Safer Grants, which I think will give us some really, really valuable insights into what a good application looks like and line us up for an application next year. But again, you can't count on that. For sake of transparency to the public, I think you need to know what the hard cost is if that doesn't come through. But that is something we want to get, and we're not just going to sit and hope. Like, we're taking steps now to try to make sure that we can put in the best application we possibly can.
That's great. Thank you.
I was on it for 3 years. We got grants every time, including the safe grant.
Yep.
Just because you know what to build it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they helped us when staff that up there. Any
other
thoughts?
Well, I was going to say, I don't think it's any secret this. But the way I view this is we the case has been made. Now, that's not to say that there's not more that needs to be, you know, fleshed out. We need to, obviously we're dealing with projections. And so anytime you're projecting, there's obviously a lot of variables that go into that, and a lot of unknowns. But I think what we've done is we have a compelling case for moving forward with the station. Now, we're not making the final decision tonight. There's still going to be more input, but that's kind of what where I think we need, you know, we're in the place where we should be. We've built a strong case for why we feel that now is the time to move forward, and there's going to be a further opportunity for the public to give input, and they'll have an opportunity to you know, respond to that. And is, you know, I guess if there's a big outcry about those additional costs, then we're going to have to maybe pull back, or we're going to have to evaluate that. But I just feel like we have made a compelling case that I have absolutely no concerns about presenting to the public. I know there will be people that don't want to do it, but I think the vast majority of people, when they hear this case and the timing and the fact that we all know that the costs are only going to increase the longer we wait, I just think there would be a lot of support for moving forward. Just seems to be the common sense approach. I appreciate what Meredith has said. You know, that's not to say we don't, we have to, you know, keep common sense in all of this. We have to be fiscally restrained. We have to be careful. But we're not building a Taj Mahal. We're not, you know, building something that is ostentatious or opulent or whatever adjective you want to use. This will be a functional building that, you know, I think the location and just what we're seeing from the statistics so far seems to be the right place and the right time. We are still three years away from this being built. And so that's 3 years of growth. So I think this, we're right where we need to be. And I really appreciate the administration for the way that they've gone about preparing a case, a compelling case that can be presented to the public. I think we can all be proud of the case that is being presented, and let's see, you know, there is another step in this process, and there'll probably be additional opportunities too. I mean, even if we, you know, I don't think we're at a point of no return, I guess is what I'm saying. And I just look forward to, you know, a further deliberative process, getting more information, more input. I really appreciate Kevin's, you know, comments tonight. And quite frankly, I hope there's other residents in our three communities that will take an interest in this and give us good feedback and ideas and things to think about. But for me personally, I think the case has been made, and I appreciate the administration for the time and effort that's gone into making it.
Thanks, Tim.
I'll read this if we're ready for it.
Well, you know, that's a discussion after.
Do you have the rate? Or
you can point, do 0.0012?
Yeah,
I can say you can shoot off the screen if you need to.
All right. I was a consideration of Resolution 2020-26-06, a resolution of Northview Fire District, Utah, pursuant to requirements of Section 59-2-924-8A and Section 59-2-912-1 to adopt an interim budget for Northview Fire District and corresponding tax rate of 0.0012. If adopted, the interim budget would be in effect July 1st, 2026, and ending after the date on which the taxing entity, subject to the requirements of Section 59-2-919, adopts the final budget. The proposed interim budget includes the required set aside of new revenue to be generated by the proposed tax increase in a restricted account. The Truth in Taxation public hearing will be held to hear comments and consider the proposed tax increase and adoption of the final budget on August 3rd, 2026 at 6 p.m. Fire Station 21, 315 East, 2550 North, North Ogden, Utah, 84414.
A mouthful. All right. Let me have a second. Okay. So a second. And then we'll have a roll call vote for this. Leonard? Kristen?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Meredith?
Yes.
Chris? The audio?
It's okay.
And Jay Johnson, yes. So the yeses have it. And thank you for again for all your work on this, Chief. The fantastic presentation and in illustrating that. And I know we've seen it a few times, but each time it sinks in, you find more pieces that just help dial it in and at least helps my brain soak it in. But we'll move on to item 10, administration's report. This will be from Chief Maxfield.
Nothing other than we do truly believe in, we don't just say it, being transparent with the public. Now that you guys have expressed an intent to move on the TNT in August, we will schedule several open houses in July because I want them to understand. So I want the public to have an opportunity not to just get the presentation. I want them to have an opportunity to come here and ask me questions. I enjoy this stuff. I enjoy talking to people about it. I would love for people to, you know, get the presentation and then ask me how that might affect them. I would love to pull up the maps and have them point to where their house is, explain to them how this benefits them directly. So if that's okay with you guys, that'll be part of our plan.
I think that's very positive for the community.
That's all I have.
Okay.
I don't think they
should be the round table. Nick, you have it.
All right. We'll go to item 11, chairperson's report. Tim, do you have anything to share with the group?
I don't, other than just thank you again to the administration and I like the term open house. I would also maybe add to that, maybe, and this is just terminology, but you know, kind of a listening session, you know, so that it's communicated to people that we want to hear what they have to say. Their input matters, you know, and so open house / listening sessions. I love it. Thank you, Chief, for the initiative in putting that together. I think that those will be very helpful and again, give us confidence in whatever direction we decide to go in, you know, ultimately. So thank you for that. And thanks everybody for putting up with my connectivity issues, but I think it's overall been okay, and it's been great to be with you all. So thank you.
Thanks, Tim. And we'll move to item 12, other and identify matters for future consideration or action. Leonard, anything?
I would just like to say, you know, I feel like I've been part of this fire department since 1965. I really haven't, but I feel like I have in some way or another. And the chief talks about operating lean, and historically, this rather was an interlocal agreement between two cities, or you know, ran by councils and mayors, or when it became an agency in the board of mayors, that or this district, you know, between Chief Call and Chief Rohr and Chief Wade, we've all. Always done a really, and the boards that associated with it have done a really, really great job. And really wish the citizens really knew how lean, how effective, how great this fire department is, cost wise and talent wise. Leave it at that.
Yes. Thanks for those words. It's great. Kristen?
Nothing.
John?
I have nothing.
Myself, I don't have anything. Anything? Meredith?
Nope.
All right. Tim, anything else?
Nothing for me. Thank you.
All right. Au revoir. All right. We'll go to item 13, the adjournment.
We adjourn.
All right. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Meeting's adjourned. Thanks, Tim, for tuning in.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Jay. Great job. Thanks, everybody.
I'm the B team. I'm very much the B team.
Not at all.
You got all for you.
Not at all.
Tim, have a baguette.